Hi, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Take your question in just a second. I will tell you, after we voted on the House version of the budget, you know, we had our school runs, and then last week talked to some of the school corporations in my district. And one of the things that, you know, when you get the school runs, to make this as quick and easy as possible, but that, you know, they threw $160 million into the, what goes into the foundation, and that's for curriculum. $158 a student. When you do the math, like for example, Fort Wayne Community School, it's actually worse than what the school run here shows you. So it's actually about a 0.5% increase and a 0.5% increase the second year. So basically not even keeping up with inflation. So Fort Wayne Community Schools, what I represent, would obviously be, frankly, taking a hit and losing money. And I know this is the House version. We'll see what the Senate does. But I just want to make you all aware of that. I think some of our members may make you aware of those things, too, as we move along, as they do their own calculations on what the funding is looks like for their own school district. So happy to take any questions you might have so far.
Your thoughts on how session's going so far?
Well,
with a straight face.
No. I mean, you know, look, I mentioned the budget and the funding for schools. I would tell you, a lot of our members have been having town halls, including talking to Representative Porter about his. Representative Delaney did one last night. And the concern, particularly, you know, with IPS, but all of us are hearing from constituents with regards to the education funding. So when you have the budget, you combine Senate Bill 1 that we heard, Senate Bill 518. There's just really a lot of concern. I saw Fort Wayne Community Schools had some layoffs today, so it's getting very, very concerning, particularly when you factor in what's going to potentially happen at the federal level too. So, while it feels like we're halfway down, it feels like, frankly, I feel like we haven't even started yet with Chairman Thompson and the bill that he put in and kind of messing around with Senate Bill 1. So, I don't know where we're heading, but it seems like we have a long way to go in 6 weeks.
To that point on Senate Bill 1, Representative Thompson's proposal that he unveiled yesterday fundamentally remakes the property tax system over the long term, fundamentally remakes the local income tax system over the long term. Is that too big a lift for 6 weeks left of session?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I want to remind folks is that I hear from the House Republican, that we cut taxes. And what's been pointed out to me is that over the last several years, they've been cutting business taxes. And those, as you know, there's always a shift. So when we talk about why do we have rising property taxes, you can look at the data. It's continuing to shift to residents. And while I like the fact that we at least are attempting, we'll see what happens. But you're right. I mean, or your question to me is 6 weeks, is that too big of a lift? You know, probably. Seems like I've been hearing, you know, that we've been studying these things for a couple years now. And of course, I thought tax caps were supposed to be the answer after 2009, maybe 2010. And so we're back at it again. So any type of relief I would hope would be for property owners. And we need to really be careful about what we're doing with business taxes, because it is a shift, and it's shifting the burden over to residents.
Well, speaking of relief, Democrats have consistently called for more relief for renters, and today Prosperity Indiana released a report that shows nearly a half of all Hoosier renters pay more than 30% of their monthly income towards rent. They're calling on the state to do more. What is your response to that?
Well, we had an increase in the renter's deduction in the House Democrat version of the budget. We put that out there. We came into this session saying, you know, what can we do? We heard it all summer from the voters. What can we do to lower prices for folks? And because we know they're hurting out there. And that was one of our planks. That's one thing that we talked about coming into session. We had it in our House version of our budget, and it was rejected. So we can always, you know, always try and take another swipe at it too. So we'll keep an eye on that. But thank you for pointing that out to me, because that's something I think that we as well pointed out to many members here on the floor too.
In the debate over property tax reform, there's also the consolidation component to all this. Indiana has a lot of local government. As you know, is a time for local governments to really seriously consider consolidation in the wake of property tax reform.
Well, it's interesting that I heard Senate Bill 1 and then followed by Senate Bill 518. Senate Bill 1, I specifically heard a state rep ask one of the witnesses about, hey, we have school districts that have one superintendent for X number of students. Fort Wayne Community, he compared it to Fort Wayne Community Schools that has one superintendent for five high schools. And then Senate Bill 518, which is going to take property tax sharing money to more to charter schools that have over 100 students, which could open the door for more charter schools, more schools. So I don't see how you can talk about consolidation on one hand, and then you have Senate Bill 518, excuse me, that may open the door and have a lot more charter schools opening up. But a lot of those decisions, too, should happen at the local level. School boards members are elected by folks, and they've been tasked to do these things. It's hard to do, and local governments just have to figure out ways. I'm sure they do all the time, is how to cut costs and live within their means too. So they do that as well. They do it all the time. It's not like they're just willy-nilly handing out jobs, because they don't.
The Department of Corrections was recently reordered to pay for an inmate's sex reassignment surgery, and the Attorney General didn't seem very happy with that, and the Lieutenant General has told the department to ignore that ruling. What's your take?
The
district court ruling.
District court, federal judge.
But what's the case?
Sex reassignment surgery for a transgender
inmate. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sorry, a gender-affirming surgery for one of their transgender inmates.
Yeah. Well, I mean, case makes its way up to the Supreme Court. We'll find out if the Supreme Court is really a conservative court or not. If that is the case, then we'll let the parents work with their children on those decisions only. Is that what you're asking me about?
This is an inmate in the Department of Correction who wants gender reassignment surgery, and the Department of Correction doesn't want to pay for it. District court recently ordered them to pay for that surgery. And the lieutenant governor is basically telling the department to ignore the court order.
Well, not basically, explicitly.
Yeah, explicitly. Explicitly telling them to ignore
that. So what's your question? Do I agree that the lieutenant governor should be telling?
What's your take? Because also the attorney general is obviously
complaining. Well, I'm not totally familiar with the case, so I hate to do that. I hate to comment on something that I haven't read, but obviously Lieutenant Governor weigh in on those things as much as he wants to. Probably should stick to Senate business maybe as well. So, okay.
Thanks for
Thank you.
Here.
Thank you.